Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Dalet. Now we're in the middle of a little bit of a complex sugya over here, so I would just like to remind everybody of where we are up to, because things got a little bit complicated when we were dealing with this mitzvah of Arava. So a number of issues have come up. First of all, it wasn't even clear what the mitzvah of Arava is. Is the mitzvah of Arava, as we said, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, is it to be zokef, the aravot, around the Mizbeach, or is it to actually be notel the arava? And if it's the mitzvah to be notel the arava, as we come out, also, is it a mitzvah to actually wave the aravot? That's the way Rashi understands it. Chovit chovit means to wave them. Or is it a mitzvah to smack the aravot, or kelim, on the ground, which is the way other Rishonim learn? In fact, the Ramah says to do both, which is what we do. We pick it, we wave it a little bit during the last of the Hashanahs that we say on Hashanah Rabbah. And then at the end, we do the chovit chovit the way the other Rishonim learn that we should actually bang it. Then we're still in the middle of trying to figure out what in the world is going on with the time after the Churban. Do we or do we not have a Dechia of Shabbos? Now, originally, yesterday, we had learned, up until the end of the day, or 2 days ago, we had learned that the idea is that in a place where you know for a fact that today is Yontif, because you're Baki, Bekibur di Yarcha, so then Eino Chinami, you would, even Bizman Hazeh, you would actually be Neitel Lulav, so that in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rambam, in those places, where the Shulchei Bezdin would be Magia, even a Chutzlar, it's not a function of Eretz Yisrael, it's just a function of Shulchei Bezdin. And then the Gemara held that you would bring your lulav even on, you would carry your lulav even on Shabbos, on the first day. And when it came to Arava, the Arava was a question, because there doesn't seem to be any minhag ever that we do it on Shabbos. So yesterday, what we came out was like this. And again, as I say, it's a bit complicated. What exactly is the mitzvah of Arava? That is to say, what do we do? Where does the mitzvah of Arava come from? We know that that's also a question. We'll go into it again, but we mentioned it already briefly. Does it come from Arve Nacha, the Lashon of Arve being a Lashon Rabim, in which case there's a mocker in the Torah for it, which is Abashol? Or do we consider it to be a halacha l'meisha misina? But either way, it would have the chumra of a d'oraisa. On the other hand, we know that arava is called a minag. It's a minag nevi'im. So we're going to be getting through all of the different elements of the arava. But the question is, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where we have our Mishnah, that lulav we would take even on Shabbos, if it came out on the first day. Arava we would take even if it's Shabbos, if it came out on the last day. As to why it is that we did not make a takana that even in Chutz La'aretz we should do such a thing, because obviously it was choshev enough in Eretz Yisrael, in the Mikdash, not to worry about the takana that maybe you'll carry it Abba Amres Bershus HaRabim. We said the reason was because it had that chumrah that even been Begvuli, that it was supposed to be the first day. So the only answer we came up with was that that's because we're not sure that it's Yantav. But in Eretz Yisrael, we are sure. Then we asked, and what about the Arava? So how come we don't make the equivalent takana for the Arava? We know that we do the Arava on the seventh day in the Beit HaMikdash. Why? So that everybody should know that it's midoraisa. And the reason that the Arava, we said, we're not worried about Rabba's problem of carrying is because Shluchei Bezdin would do it. And the only reason that we did not do it, therefore, every single day, even if it came on our Shabbos, was because then people would look down on the lulav, and they would think the lulav is less choshev. So it came out that the entire thing was basically a very delicate dance, a balance between the impact of our takkadah for our rava on the lulav, and the opposite, that people would think that maybe only the lulav is choshev and the arava isn't choshev. So we went out of our way to separate the days, and to make a separate hakara that an arava is choshev enough to be derech Shabbos, and this we made in Eretz Yisrael. So the end result was that yesterday we were quite confused. If the only way, this is what we left off with yesterday, if the only reason that you're telling me that the Arava is not going to be Doche Bisman Hazeh in Eretz Yisrael, is because we wanted it to be the same as it is in Chutz La'aretz, that Klal Yisrael shouldn't be torn into completely different minhagim in which people would never hear such a thing in one place and act differently. So we did the same thing for Arava, even in Eretz Yisrael. If it's not Doche in Chutz La'aretz, then it's not Doche in Eretz Yisrael. So the last thing we had, how come then, if the lulav we do on Shabbos, because remember up until that point, the Gemara held that even Bisman Hazeh, the lulav we do on Shabbos. So if the lulav we do on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't do on Shabbos in Bavel, so isn't that going to be the same feeling of having two completely different types of minhagim, depending on where you live? That was the last question. And the Gemara's last words that we learned, which from today, Zdaf, it was Zdaf Mem Dalan Amad Aleph. So Amri, Ledidu Nami Lodach. So Gemara came out that even in Eretz Yisrael, we made a mistake. It's wrong. And because we're not Deicha in Chutz La'aretz, we're not Deicha in Eretz Yisrael, even the Lulav. So now we come out, neither Lulav nor Arava Bizman Hazeh, we're not Neitel either of them on Shabbos. Anyway, now the question that we left off with was, remember that the day before when we had suggested that there's a difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, and we wanted to bring a raya that there were two completely different dinim, Bizman Hazeh, depending on whether you were in the Mikdash, you would bring it to the Mikdash Erev Shabbos, and the other Mishnah, which we had in the end of the previous parak, was that everybody would bring their lulav to the Beit HaKnesset. So when did they bring the lulav to the Beit HaKnesset? So we said, must be, they brought to the Beit HaKnesset Bizman Hazeh, where it was an Ebes HaMikdash. So when it was Shabbos, they couldn't carry it, so they brought it Erev Shabbos. And we brought a riot from there that people did do Netilas Lulav on Shabbos, in Shul. That was our proof. So now what are we going to do with our proof that we took so seriously? Asked the Gemara, Ve'elakasha, so now isn't it a problem? What before we took to be a proof that we had two separate Mishnayas, that one of the Mishnayas said, the Tanah Chada, we had our Mishnah that we're still in the middle of, that Kol Ha'am Olechinat Ulaveim Laharabayit, everybody would bring Erev Shabbos to Lulav to the Harabayit and the whole thing with people beating each other up and so on and so forth on Shabbos. Fine. And then in the end of the last parak, we learned that Kol Ha'am Olechinat Ulaveim LeBeit HaKnesset. And we proved that. We said, you see, Kam bismanche Beit HaMikdash Kayam, we went to the Harabayit, and Kam bismanche Ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, when it was Shabbos, we brought the lulav to Shul. So you see that there obviously was a minhag to carry the lulav, even bisman Hazeh, to carry it in the Beit HaKnesset. So what are you going to do with that? Now you're claiming that, no, that was a mistake, and in reality, we do not make differences between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael in terms of the mitzvah Hayom. Says the Gemara, well, we made a mistake. What we're now going to have to learn is that both of those Mishnayos are talking about Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. And Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam, we did not cancel the din of carrying the lulav on Shabbos because there was not so many people that were in Golas and people had not been thrown out to live in other countries. So then we kept our minhagim in Eretz Yisrael and we carried the lulav on Shabbos. But after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Einachinami, we would not have done it even in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we'll have to say both of those Mishnayos, which talk about carrying a lulav on Shabbos, are talking about Bizman Beis HaMikdash. And the difference is, Vokasha, Kan B'Mikdash, and Kan B'Gvulim. So those who were near the Beis HaMikdash, so that's our Mishnah, everybody brought to the Harabayit. The Mishnah, the previous parak, that's talking about those who weren't close to the Harabayit. So they were still going to carry their lulav in Shul. So they brought it to Shul Erev Shabbos. But once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so then we canceled because of the takana that maybe you'll come to carry Arba Amis Brishus HaRabim, even in the case where it was a mitzvah d'oraisa, We also canceled it because of Sheva'al Tassin, and the Rabbanan are able to make a siyog that you may come to be over on a diraisa with a Sheva'al Tassin. And since we originally didn't, because we would prefer not to have done that, but since it's not even clear in Chutz La'aretz that it is a mitzvah diraisa, because Eina Bekiyam Bekviya Diyarcha, so therefore, we did not say to forget about the Takana of Rabbah, and we're worried that you're going to be Naitel Arba Amis Prishus Arabim. Once we did that in Chutz La'aretz, we had to apply it back in Eretz Yisrael. But Enochinami, Bizman Azeh, forget. Omali Abaya L'Rav. Okay, I understand now the Shabbos issues, okay? So we're not Docha Shabbos, you're telling me nowadays we don't carry a lulav on Shabbos, we don't carry an Arava on Shabbos. I get all of that. But what I don't get is the differences when it comes to the dinim of lulav and when it comes to the dinim of arava. Now, how many days, forget about Shabbos, if it's not Shabbos, how many days do we carry a lulav? 7 days. Why? We're certainly not chayev outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It says beferish in the pasuk, biyom harishon. So remember, we said that we have this special inyan in which tzion hi doresh ein la, that there's a mitzvah to be Darash Tzion and to make minhagim or takonas that will force people to remember what used to be. So therefore, we now have a mitzvah, midrabanan, the rest of Sukkot, to carry a lulav, if it's not Shabbos. Now, how many days do you carry an arava? Last I heard, I didn't hear anybody who brings an arava and walks around the bima with an arava. I mean, I never heard of such a thing for all 7 days. Nobody takes an arava at all. Well, why not? Wasn't the mitzvah of arava in the Beis HaMikdash 7 days? Absolutely. It said beferish in the Mishnah over here. Arava, shisha, v'shiva, right? So why do we take a lulav for 7 days and we don't take the arava for 7 days? That still isn't clear to me. We should have the same takona of zecha l'mikdash for an arava as the takona that we have for the lulav. Now, mind you, what I said earlier should have raised some alarms. Do we indeed walk around the bima with an arava even on Hashanah Rabbah? Now, this itself is not so pashut. We're going to see. Remember, it depends what the mitzvah of hakafah was, and we're going to see more about that. Was the mitzvah of hakafah, was that done with the lulav, or was that done with the arava? Okay, so all of that needs to be determined before we can ask about the minhag of walking around the bima. Okay, I understand that. But meanwhile, we have a simple question. Whatever the mitzvah was, whether it was to walk around the Mizbeach or not, there's definitely a mitzvah to walk around the Mizbeach, but it's not clear whether that's done with an arava or whether that's done with a lulav. Fine, that we'll see. But why don't we have the Zecher L'Mikdash? Ma'ishna lulav davdina l'shiva Zecher L'Mikdash u'ma'ishna arava d'lo avdina l'shiva Zecher L'Mikdash. Very simple, straightforward question that should bother any child. If he sees people carrying the arava, he would wonder, what, there was only a mitzvah of 1 day to take an arava? Is there a special mitzvah of the arava on the 7th day? If you go out and talk to people on the street and ask them about the arava, I'll bet you 90% of people would say there's a special mitzvah of arava on the 7th day of Sukkot. Is there? Absolutely not. How did we get to the idea of an arava on the 7th day of Sukkot? Because of the special takana that we had to carry the arava and the migdash on Shabbos on the 7th day. Even on Shabbos, but every day we'd carry an arava. And how did we end up getting that takana? Because we needed to choose a day. Because we wanted to prove that the arava, we wanted people to remember the arava is a mitzvah chashuva, midiraisa, alokh l'mashmisina. And why did we choose the 7th day? Well, why not? We had the 1st day being the special day for lulav, even on Shabbos, so we made the 7th day the special arava. You understand how out of that came an unbelievable misconception that the arava is a mitzvah on the 7th day. Now, there's no such animal in the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, but there's also this popular misconception that the ideas of the Hoshana and Hoshana Rabbah, that has something to do with the mitzvah of the arava. So that if we were makif the Mizbeach with the Arava of 7 days, as we're going to see in the Mishnah coming up, so then that's why we do Hoshana Rabbah. Then why do we do Hoshana Rabbah with a lulav? So there's not necessarily any connection. All of this is wild. People are living in a fantasy world in which there's a special mitzvah of Arava on the 7th day. So we're going to have to get to why Bichlal, it's the seventh day, but why didn't we make it all 7 days? That's a different question. So that's a biased question. How come we only do it on one day? Omar Lay, well, said Rava, look, I mean, anyway, you're carrying Aravas around in your lulav, aren't you? So we don't need to do that. I mean, so you always have an Arava for 7 days because you have an Arava in your lulav. Said, wait, what? What does that Rava and the lulav have to do with the Arava of the mitzvah of the Arava? You're not carrying around the Arava in your lulav as a zecher for the Arava that was in the Beis HaMikdash. That was the whole point of not having Shabbos being dochli on the first day of Shavuos for the Arava, so that people wouldn't say you're just doing that for the lulav and you're not doing it for the Arava. And now you're telling me, well, all right, sort of, it's good enough, because how can you say such a thing? That's outrageous. So of course you can't be Yotze with the one in the Arava. Now I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, all right, so you know what? People will pick up their lulav twice. First time they'll pick up the lulav, and it'll be a Shem Mitzvah's lulav. Then I'll pick up the lulav again, you know, for another 10 seconds. All right, I'll pick it up again just to make sure that I have a zikaron of the Arava. I dare you to show me one Beit HaKnesset where anybody does that. I've never heard of such a thing. Amazing b'chol yom to look after din enough. You show me anybody that does it. Nobody does that. Even if it would be good enough. I mean, I'm not agreeing that it's good enough, because we're going to see later on in the daf that that's not good enough at all. But let's say it was good enough, nobody does it. So what's the reason? Why do we not have a minhag of Arava for all 7 days? Zecher l'Mikdash. Omer Rav Zvid Mishmei d'Arava. Well, lulav is midiraisa. So because of that, we want to make a zecher of the mitzvah of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, shivas yomi. Masha'enkein the Arovas, the Rabbonin, so we're not so makpid. So lo avdin ala shiva zecher l'migdash. What? Arovas, the Rabbonin? Who says such a thing? Laman, tell me where there's a shita that Arovas, the Rabbonin. As far as I know, there's only two mekores for the din of Arov. Nobody says it's the Rabbonin. So you're talking about Aliba da Abashol? Aliba da Abashol, he learns out from the pasuk Arvei Nachal. What's the lashon of Arvei we saw before? Arvei Nachal means lashon Rabbi, two Aravot. What's two Aravot for? He holds you only need one Arava in the Lulav. You only need one of any of the minim in the Lulav. Achat Lulav, v'achat l'migdash. So then there would be a deraisa if the Torah is telling me Lulav, the Aravas. And according to Rabbanan, who disagree, and they say the Arvei Nachal means you should take two Aravas, or whatever other dinim we have. So then they hold it's Halacha L'Meshe Misinai. Halacha L'Meshe Misinai is not a Derabbanan, my friend. It has all the chumras of the Deraisa. Why would we not make a Zecher L'Migdash? Didn't he say, remember, we had always repeating this, the Omer of Asi, Omer of Yochanan, Mishum, Rebbe Nechunya, Ish Bikat, Beit Choratan, Eser Netiyais, which we've been dealing with in terms of the dinim of Shemitah, that you're allowed to do a complete watering and plowing of your field of the saplings. You could do all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. There's no din of Tosefet Shloshim Yom of Shemitah. Arava, which refers to this mitzvah of Arava on Sukkot, and Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot, are all Halakha L'Moshe Misinai. So what do you mean it's Derabbanan? Okay, that's not what I meant. I mean it's Derabbanan. I meant, Elamer Vizvimish Beit Arava, Lulav has a chiyav even Bizman Hazeh, right? Outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Isn't that true? We're all agreed that only in the Beis HaMikdash it's 7 days, but at least there's a chumrah deraisa that one day we're mechuyav to take our Lulav, the first day. Okay? So the Lulav, the Itlei Karmina Torah Bigvulin. So there we make an additional gezeirah of 7 days because the mitzvah is so chashuv that it applies even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we expand that zecher into the 7 days, and that way we'll remember, oh, even though we only have a mitzvah of one day, but in the Beis HaMikdash, we used to be neitel or lulav for 7 days, and so, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Masha'in Kain, Arava, does not have any chiyuv in the gvulin at all, right? The only place that you do that mitzvah of Arava was in the Beis HaMikdash, even at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was kai. There was no chiyuv of Arava anywhere, not midiraisa, and not halacha l'meshe misina. So since let la yikar min haTorah begvulin at all, so therefore avdinan shiva lo avdinan shiva zechel hamikdash. Why should we make a? I didn't mean to say one's the arisa, one's the rabbanan. Silly. I meant that in the gvulin, one isn't the arisa and one doesn't exist. That's what I was saying. So therefore, once we have a chiyav, so memela will make that chiyav now 7 days. Hashem ken harav has no chiyav at all. So we won't make it 7 days. Fine. That would make sense. Because what are we going to do? We can't make a Zeich HaLamikdash of 1 day of a lulav. it would be a chiyav anyway of 1 day. The only way to make the Zeich HaLamikdash is by making it 7 days. Mashain ken the arava, making it 1 day is also Zeich HaLamikdash. So that's good enough. Now, this is the way Rashi learns. And I spiced it up by telling you the Ritva's approach, those last words. But the Rambam disagrees with this whole approach. The Rambam reads the Gemara differently. He reads it like this. Lulav de it le ikar min haTorah, bigvulin abdina le shiva. That's how he learned it. So in other words, he understands that since Arava does not appear beferish in the Torah, and he understands that it's entirely in terms of Allah HaMeshini Sinai, and it's only merumas. So because of that, we were not so makpid to make Bigvulin a takana for Shiva. Completely different way of reading this sugya. But basically, we come out with the same halacha. So now we understand why we make a Zecher LeMikdash, and why that Zecher LeMikdash is only 1 day, and we made that Zecher LeMikdash on the same day that we were machmir in the Beis HaMikdash to make the point of doing it afilu b'Shabbos so that everybody would know the chashivas of the arova. So because of that, we have the same day that we were kovei and chutz laret, that should be the day of the chashivas of the arova in terms of the Zeich HaLamikdash. And there's also another approach, that the reason for the 7 day is that it relates to the nature of the 7 day of Hoshana Rabbah that we're going to talk about. So far we haven't seen any relationship necessarily of Hoshana Rabbah to any of this. Wow. Okay. Is everything clear, I hope, so far? Because it's quite complicated. It's amazing, interrelated, like I say. It's like this little dance of how we ended up with the mitzvahs that we have today and the differences between Arava and Lulav and how we came out with the last day. It's quite amazing because if you take a look at the development, it's like so different from what we always assume is going on. It calls for a drink. And so does the kever of Yoyada Kohen call for a drink. Someone to whom we have so much hakaras teva. Oh, you man. Fine. Okay, now, Amar Reish Lakish. Now, here is a tremendous finish. Amar Reish Lakish. Kohanim ba'alei mumim nichrasim bein ha'olam v'la mizbeach kedei latzeit ba'arava. Now, this is quite astonishing. A kohen ba'al mum is not allowed to go bein ha'olam v'la mizbeach. Tosis points out, you could have just as well said, a Kohen who is Perua Rosh. He's not allowed to go in with his hair uncut. So what Reish Lakish is saying is that even though this Mokum is Osir for Kayanim, but in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Arava, you're allowed to go in even to a place where normally it would be Osir. Because in order to go around the Mizbeach with your Arava, so now he seems to be assuming that you need to go around the Mizbeach with an Arava. So in order to go around the Mizbeach with the Arava, you need to go, obviously, between the Mizbeach and the Heichal, because how else are you going to go around? And since this mitzvah was given to these Kayanim, so therefore the Esa of the Arava is Doicha the Issa of not going around between the Mizbeach and the Heichal. Now, the truth is that it's a big machlokas about whether it's a diaraisa that a kohen ba'al mum is not allowed to come bein olam v'la mizbeach, like the Rambam learns, or that it's the rabbanan, like Tosfos times. in the Ramban time. So maybe because of that, we said, okay, so we can do it. It's only Rabbanan. Reish Lakish says it's more important to do the Arava. If you're learning that it's Mamash D'Oraisa, so then that would be, apparently, would mean that anyone who was also to go there would be allowed to go there. Well, let me ask you something. How about a Zar? How about a non-Kohen? Are we so absolutely certain that the mitzvah of the Arava was only given to Kohanim, which is what we seem to be assuming? Tosfos in fact says beferish. There's no chiyuv. The din of the Arava is a din in the Beis HaMikdash and the Meshamshei Beis HaMikdash. And it's dafka a din in Kohanim. That's Tosfos and Shita. And that's why we limited over here to discuss Kohen Baal Mum instead of a Zar. Unbelievably, there are those Rishonim who say that it's a mitzvah on Kol Yisrael, and that Alibet Reish Lakish, we would allow even a Zar to go there. So even though Reish Lakish doesn't say that, but according to those Shitas, that's the Shita of the Arzarua, that the Halacha is that it would be true about a non-Kohen. Quite a pella. Okay. So now, because of all of these lack of clarity as to what precisely we're referring to, Rabbi Yochanan makes a very strange comment. Who says? Who says what? It's a lot of things that who says could be talking about. So who says? So the Gemara first assumes that what Rabbi Yochanan says, who says, what he meant was, who says that there's a mitzvah? Lekayim, I mean, you're telling me, Latseis Barova, that means that there's a mitzvah to be, you're mechuyev to go in, Beino Olam Vala Mizbeach. Who says there's such a mitzvah? Who says? What do you mean, who says? You said, for God, you were the one who said it. Because, after all, wasn't Rav Asi quoting Rav Yochanan? When Rav Yochanan quotes Rav Nechunya Yishpikas, Beis Chayrosan, that Eser Netiyah is Aravav, and Yisach HaMayim Aloch HaLamash Mitzinai. So Rabbi Yochanan was the one who says, what's saying who says? So obviously that couldn't be what he was meaning, right? So when Rabbi Yochanan said who says, he might be asking like this. Who says that there's a mitzvah to hold an Arava and to walk around the Mizbeah? Where'd you get that from? Maybe the only mitzvah of Arava is Bizikifa. So we're going to see later on in the Mishnah that they used to bring these murbiot from the town of Motza. They would bring the murbiot and put them, mizokev them, against the side of the mizbeah. Maybe that's the ikar mitzvah. Maybe there is no mitzvah to carry around aravas bichlal. So what makes you think you have to go around the mizbeah, you have to walk around the mizbeah? You have to take these big aravas, lean them up against the sides of the mizbeah. So why should a Kohen Baal Mum go all the way around the mizbeah? The Kohen Baal Mum, he'll put it on the side of the Mizbeach that is closer to the entry on the east, where it's mutter for him to be. Why should he go in a place where it's osur? Other Kohanim or a kosher, they'll put it on the other side of the Mizbeach. So maybe that's all you need to do. Dilma Bizkifa. And well, every Kohen doesn't do that. I mean, one Kohen can do the Zikifa around the Mizbeach. So then that would mean that the mitzvah of Arava was a mitzvah to be done for Klal Yisrael. Buy a coin is not a mitzvah on individuals. In which case, the entire idea of every individual walking around with an arava today is like a very strange zechel amigdash. If the mitzvah would have been in the Beis HaMikdash itself, only b'skifa, and not carrying it b'chlal. Furthermore, it says the Gemara, maybe Rabbi Yochanan saying, who says that balei mumin or chayev b'chlal? Maybe if you're telling me it needs to be done in the Beis HaMikdash by the people who work in the Beis HaMikdash, then maybe it's only a mitzvah on the Tamimi. What gives you the idea that it's a mitzvah on every Kohen? It's like every other mitzvah of Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. Only a Kohen Baal Tamim would be doing it, and therefore why should a Baal Mum have anything to do with it? Should be Batir? And where do you get any of this from, Reish Lakish? Itma, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now, things get even crazier. So far, we've only had a machlokas about whether the makor of the mitzvah of Arava is in the remez in the pasuk of Arvei Nachal like Avashol, or whether it's like Rabbi Yochanan quotes a din That went together, obviously, with the dinim of Shemitah and Ezer Netiyos, which is what we're learning at the same time, which keeps coming up for some strange reason in the mitzvah of the Gemara and Sukkah, even though there's no connection between them. Very, very strange. But all right. In any event, the question is that all of that discussion seems to be totally off of the record now. We never heard about it. Because now we suddenly discover that there's a new machlokas. And what's a new machlokas? Whether the arava is a yesod of Nevi'im or whether the arava is a minhag of Nevi'im. What? Nevi'im? I thought we were talking about the arises. Fine, the Gemara will get to that question in a moment. But this is a different issue for some reason. A yesod on Nevi'im would mean what? That they made a takana. Now, there's one big problem with this. Nevi'im are not empowered to make takanas. I mean, a Navi who comes along and tells you that God told me to make a takana, we kill him. So what do you mean a yesod of Nevi'im? So as Rashi explains, the inyan of yesod on Nevi'im would mean that it was done by Haggai, Zechariah, Umalachi, who were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and they did have the keach to make takonas for Klal Yisrael, because that was a bezdin shel Kol Yisrael. And when it refers to the Nevi'im, it means those Nevi'im who were part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, that they were the ones that pushed that we should have this, and that was indeed mikeach, the power of Nevi'is to understand the madrega of what it meant to have this takon of Arava, and nobody else understands what we're waving a branch around for. What does that mean, Bichlal?
But so, going beyond Rashi.
I am.
It's going beyond Rashi. Rashi's only saying the Nevi'im. Rebbe's giving the context and explaining the Koach. Unless it's Rashi, right? Rebbe's
no, going not Rashi. Right. No. Rashi is troubled by the question of how you can have such a thing as Yisod Nevi'im if the Nevi'im don't have Koach to make you say this. Right? That's the whole point of Rashi. I'm not going beyond Rashi. It's a beautiful Rashi. It's bringing out that you shouldn't, Chas v'Shalom, think that Nevi'im can go around making you say this. Okay. So Zechariah Malachi, okay, I understand. These are Chagai, Zechariah Malachi, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So therefore was Yesod of them. V'chadamar, we don't know who said what, but it was Machlokas. Was it only a Minag Nevi'im? Now there's two different approaches to Minag Nevi'im. Minag Nevi'im means they did it on their own because they knew what they were doing, and people started doing it as a Minag because they saw the Nevi'im doing it. Or that they suggested to people that it's a good minhag to have. What's the difference between minhag and yesod? The nafka mina would be whether you make a bracha. If it's a yesod nevi'im, so then it's takana derabbanan essentially. And therefore you could say, now here is the big issue about whether you can make a bracha on a minhag. So the Gemara here is taking for granted, as we'll see, that if it's a minag Nevi'im, you cannot say Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. Where's the v'tzivanu on a minag? Masha Einke, if it's Yesod Nevi'im, then you can say Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. Where was v'tzivanu? Because the Torah was mitzvah us to listen to the Rabbanan. And this is a mitzvah to Rabbanan, so we can say Asher Tzivanu. Now this, of course, is the Yesod that the Rambam brings, and all of the others who learn like the Rambam. You do not make a bracha on halal if it's not an halal that is a full halal. Because what we call the chatzi halal is a minig bi'alma. There's no chiyuv to say halal on Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Chodesh. So because of that, we don't make a bracha on a chatzi halal. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says, no, it's not true. Just because the Gemara over here says that when it comes to Arava, we would not make a bracha if it's only a minig, says the Rabbeinu Tam, hold on a second. When you say halal, are you learning Torah? Does the halal come from Tanakh? Yes. So there's a tremendous difference. You have a minhag to do something which is no shaychus to mitzvah. Take a branch from a tree and wave it around. I'm going to say Asher Tzivanu? What are you, crazy? Where's the Asher Tzivanu? Wave branches around your head. So of course I can't say Asher Tzivanu. But Masha Inkin, when I'm applying the Kriyas HaTorah, and I'm saying this particular Kriyas HaTorah we're doing because of Rosh Chodesh, So then you could say Asher Tzivanu. In general, there's a tzivoy to be loymei teretz. So Asher Kitchanu mitzvotav tzivanu, and I'm using that mitzvah for the Kriyas HaHalal. That is the mukar of those who learn. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the way that the Rambam learns, and you do not say a bracha, and the Ramah paskins like the Rabbeinu Tam, which accounts for the differences between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim, or those who are noig minik Sfard, that they don't, those who are go according to minik Sfard and the Ari, so they don't say a bracha on a chatzi halal. How can you say Asher Kitchanu mitzvotav tzivanu? There's no such tzivui. So it's a difference, a profound difference in what the relationship is to the tzivanu, to the act. A very different approach between the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam. In any event, this machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is nogea the bracha. Now you said you don't know whether Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said it was Yesod Nevi'im or whether it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'll prove to you who says what. Tistayem the Rabbi Yochanan, who the Omer Yesod Nevi'im. I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yochanan held that it was a takona. The Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Arava Yesod Nevi'im. It says Beferish, he called it Yesod Tistayem. Okay, I mean, there's no arguing with Rabbi Yochanan's own words. Omer Le Reb Zer Le Rabbi Abba, but that's not true. This is crazy. What do you mean Rabbi Yochanan holds Arava is Yesod Nevi'im? Rabbi Yochanan was the one who quoted Reb Nechunya Ishbika's Beis Chorosan that Eser Netiot Arava V'Nisach HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. I don't understand. All of a sudden, we forgot the halacha l'moshe miSinai. Now we're saying that the Arava is Yesod Nevi'im. Rabbi Abu went crazy. Oh my God. Eshtomim kishachad. What the heck? I don't know what I was thinking. This is what I was taught. What in the world would that mean? Then he realized, must be, that apparently during Golos Bavel, they must have forgotten some of the din of the Torah. And Shechachum, they forgot this halacha l'moshe miSinai. And then came along these Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and reminded them. And they were Yazdum again. So Chazru v'Yazdum. No, that's not possible. Rabbi Yochanan actually is famous for another Maisa in which he was shocked to discover when Rav Kahana had come from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So all Maisa, remember, they accused Rav Kahana of murder and he had to run away, and he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan has all of these shilas, and he asks Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana knows everything that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't know. So Rabbi Yochanan says to his Talmidim, Amar the Rabbi Yochanan Dilachon Amri, I used to think that the Yediyas HaTorah only remained in the hands of the people that were in Eretz Yisrael. Now I see we're the ones that have all the Sfeikas and Dilahoni. It's actually theirs. Apparently, the Harash and Masger that were taken to, this Harash explains also, the Harash and Masger were taken up to Bavel, and they were brought up there in order as a chesed Hashem to make yeshivas in Bavel, so that when the Golos came to Bavel later, that there would be everything prepared for them to be loimdei Torah and so on, which is why Bavel became so enriched with Torah and yeshivas and went through the entire Zman of the Gaonim and so on. So now I realize that they were the ones, I thought, if you go into Golos, you forget everything. Now I realize they were the ones who had all of the Torah, and they were the ones who didn't forget. So how could we say Shakhu v'chazur v'yastu? So that can't be the pshat. So I'll tell you what the pshat is. Lorkash, it's two different issues. Kan b'migdash, kan b'gvulim. Remember, the whole idea that there should be an arava outside of the migdash, on the surface of it, is nonsensical. In other words, what we've come to do with the lulav is basically to say, since there's a mitzvah of a lulav, everybody's familiar with the mitzvah of lulav. Now, there was a special mitzvah of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. Okay, fine. So in order to remember that mitzvah, so we made 7 days for lulav, bizman hazeh, zecher l'mikdash. Now you're turning and you're saying, there was a mitzvah of arava in the Mikdash, and therefore let's make up that everybody should carry an arava. What do you mean? But even in the Beis HaMikdash, we would never have carried an arava. So what kind of crazy thing is that? I mean, what are you going to say? That we should make up that on one day of Sukkot, everybody should stand upside down and spit wooden nickels. And they should say, I'm doing this, Zeichel HaMikdash. Because in the Mikdash there was a mitzvah to carry around an arava. What does that have to do with you spitting wooden nickels? So the question, where in the world does it come from that bichlal outside of the Beis HaMikdash that there should be an arava? That's the question. The whole thing doesn't make sense. You can't just make up a mitzvah. I don't care if it's Zeichel HaMikdash. It has to have a makor as a mitzvah first. Where does it come from? Ah, that's what it's talking about. So in the Gvulin, the idea that we would make it a mitzvah, that's a question. Is it, in fact, only a minhag, so that it becomes a minhag to be Zeichel, the mitzvah in the Mikdash? Or was there actually a takona that there's a mitzvah to take an arava? That's the question. So there's two completely different issues here. One is the machlokes about what is the mitzvah of a bisman the mikdash in the mikdash. Is that because of arve nachal, or is that because of the eser netiyas and arava nisach hamayim halacha l'meshi b'sinai? Then we have a different question. That bisman hazeh, that will be neitel even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which never was done. Where did that come from? That came from the Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. And it's a machlokas. Did it come because they took it as a minhag, or did it come because as members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdelah, they were mitakein this mitzvah for Yisrael? Nafkamina, do we make a bracha? Halacha l'maisa, we do not make a bracha on the arava, which means that what we've accepted, la'halacha, is that it's a minhag Nevi'im. Omar Rabbi Ami.
Those remind us of a Catholic stuck a fun.
Okay.
That's why the wooden nickel.
Very good. All right. So, Omar Rabbi Ami. Aravat Tzrich HaShiur. You should know that this Arava, forget about the Arava in the Alulav. In the Lulav. That's a different thing over there. We need three Tvachim and so on and so forth. That's not what we're talking about over here. But there is a Shiur in that Arava. And you can know that the arava is not meant to be taken together with the lulav. The arava is taken on its own. Ein ani telet ela b'fnei atzma. And ein adam yotzei ydei chavato be'arava shebelulav. Not only that, but you cannot be yotzei with the lulav. I understand, that's what you just said. That's not three things, that's two things. You just said that it's ein ani telet ela b'fnei atzma. It has to be taken on its own. So then obviously, pshita ein adam yotzei be'arava shebelulav. So why did you make that like a third thing? No, and this gets back to what we suggested before. That ma'u detema hanimili echad alo agbe v'adar agbe. Aval agbe v'adar agbe emalo. I might have thought that it's not with the lulav. Okay, that's because it becomes the mitzvah of the lulav and not the arava. But suppose you pick it up again in order to be yotze v'dafka the mitzvah of arava after you're already yotze the mitzvah of lulav. Maybe over there you would be yotze. Therefore comes along now Rabbi Ami to say, no. The idea over here is that even if you're taking it on its own as arava and not with the lulav, but even if it's connected to the lulav, you cannot be yotze with it. Because then it's not nikr that it's netila. To is a special netila, and therefore you're not yotze. That was part of the etzem minag, or part of the etzem yisrael. That's the point. Kamash malan. Now the question is, how about if you take the arava out of the lulav, and now you carry the arava alone? So then, can you be yotze if you finish? This happens very often. People don't get a chance to buy aravas for a shana rava. Can you use the arava in your lulav as the arava for a shana rava? So here the Gemara is only saying you cannot use the arava when it's together with the other minim of the lulav for a shana rava. But as the Mishnah Berura points out, if you would take it out of the lulav, so then there's no objection over here to using the same arava that was in the lulav, even though the minhag is to get special aravas and big aravas and beautiful aravas and five aravas and so on, but that's not li'ikuva. Fine. So therefore, kamash malan, you're not yotze. Whereas Rav Chista Amar of Yitzchak says, Adam yotze yedei chovato ba'arava shebelulav. If you did it twice, then in Achiyami, the second time it would be kosher for the mitzvah of Arava. Okay, then you say there's a shiur. What is the shiur of the Arava? Amr of Nachman, Shlosha Bade Alin Lachim. Three separate branches that have fresh leaves on all of them. Okay. There's also others that learn three branches with three leaves. So why do we say three? We say three because we want to make it clear that this is not the same as the Aravas and the Lulav. Because otherwise, what would we say? Two. So okay, so the same thing as the Arava and the Lulav, except that we take it away from the Lulav. So in order to make it clear, this is a special mitzvah. So we would koveya three. Also good. Rav Shesha says, what do you come up with there? Even one leaf and one branch is enough. One leaf? What do you mean? A leaf without a branch and a branch without a leaf? How can you think that a leaf would be nicker than a lekicha of an arava? It's ridiculous. Sakadaita. Ela ema afilu ala echad bevad echad. Even if there's a single branch and it only has one leaf, it's also good. Okay, now, it says Ivo. Remember, Ivo was Rav's father. We're going to be talking about two Ivos here, two historical Ivos. One of them Rav's father, and the other one a great-grandson. So Ivo, as you said, I was standing there in front of her Belozer Berbet Sadek, and a guy comes in with an Arova, and he was going to be using it, and he actually gave it to him, and Shokil, he took it from him, Chavit, Chavit. Now Rashi learns Chavit, Chavit means he waved it. He waved it back and forth, like a lulav, and he did not make a bracha. Why did he not make a bracha? Because Sofer Minag Nevi'im, he held it was only a minute, and therefore this is a raya to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that indeed the minag was to take it, but therefore there was no takona. And Ivo v'chizkia b'nei barte derav, now there was also another little boy called Ivo, who was a son of Rav's daughter, which means he was a great-grandson of the original Ivo. And it's very cute that we're bringing a raya from the Zaydi, the elder Zaydi, and from his great-grandson. So they brought him, they brought Rav a arava, and chavit, chavit, velo borech, he did the same thing. He goes, sovra minang namiyimu, and there's no brocha. Omar Ivo, so once we're talking about Ivo, was another mice that Ivo said that where he was Ka'im Nakabeda Rablazab Rabbi Tzadak. And a guy comes in front of him. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing that we're back to Shvius again. So there was another mice. One mice had to do with the question of Arava. But then there was another guy that came running up to Rablazab Rabbi Tzadak. And this man comes along and he says, look, I own a lot of cities. I'm a rich guy. And I own a lot of vineyards all over the place. Now, I'm telling you, the people that live in my cities, these are all company towns, you understand? The people that live in my cities, they work now during Shemitah, and they're Mekashkashin Bekarmaya. They hoe the vineyards that I own, and then they don't get paid. What they do is, Ochlim Bezeitaya, they go out to the other fields where I have Zeitim, and they eat from the zeitim, and they don't charge me for the work because they're eating from my zeitim. Orich or lo orich? Is this correct to do or not? Now, the question is over here. We're going to see. First of all, the question, are you allowed to do kishkush? Are you allowed to do hoeing? That we're going to talk about in a moment. But we're talking about over here hoeing that was mutter during Shvius. So the question was whether the fact that they take on their own the Paris of Shvius from his zeitim, and they don't charge him for the work, does that mean that he's paying off his debts with Shemitah money? Which would mean that would be begetter la'ochla v'lo l'sora, because it's supposed to be available la'ochla. So this is what he wanted to know, right? So we know that you're not allowed to be koveya schar, but you could definitely give, we're going to see this in the Mishnah, you could definitely give Shemitah peres to somebody who worked as a matana, even though you know that the guy is, because of that, he's not charging you, because you brought him food that you collected for Shvius, is perfectly okay, as long as you don't say beferish, hinei l'cha b'scharcha. So then that means, be'ikar adin, there's definitely not a problem here in anything that was going on, okay? Nonetheless, the man asks, he doesn't ask, is it mutter? He asks, is it orich? Orich means, is this appropriate? Is this a correct way to act, or it like smacks a little bit too much of paying your debts with Shvius? So Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadik said to him, Lo'arech, this is not appropriate. The guy, as he said the word Lo'arech, had already turned around and was running out of the Beis HaMedrash. Said Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Tzadik, I've been living here for 40 years, and I have never seen someone who is such a perfect person as this guy. This person, everything about him cries appropriateness. Because he didn't even wait to ask me, so what do I do? He comes back later and asks, so what do I do? First thing he wanted to do is to run and tell them, please stop. Because he didn't want another minute that people would be naive with his things in a way that was inappropriate. He didn't even say goodbye. He turns around and runs out of the room. So the guy comes back later and he says, okay, what shall I do? So my mommy, what should I do? It's like the old story with the Indians, you know, the guy that claimed that this old Indian had a memory that was absolutely perfect. So this guy is talking to this Indian and he meets him and so on. He says to him, so like, what kind of things do you eat? He's talking about it when he eats. He says, do you like eggs? Yeah. I like eggs. Okay, interesting. 30 years later, he comes back. He meets the same guy. How? Says he. Scrambled, answers him. So this guy comes back, and now he's like, okay, so what do I do? Like in the middle of the conversation. So what do I do? The correct thing to do is to be mafkir, your zesim, see to it that it goes to the poor, not to the people that are going to look at it as a payment. And you pay these people. Then you pay them for the work that they're doing on the kishkush. But how is kishkush mutter during shvias? The kashkushe mishari? V'atanya v'ashvias tishvetenu tashta. Doesn't it say that there's a mitzvah zaseh besides the esurim? There's a mitzvah zaseh to basically leave your property. Just let it free. So we learn out that means tishmetena means don't even hoe it. Tishmetena melekashkesh, even though the Torah never asked kishkush as a law. Unetashta, just forsake your property. Milasakel means don't take off the rocks from away from the fields. Omar Ravukva Barchama, this is something that we've been discussing in our learning in Shvias. There's two different types of kashkushi. Chat satume pile. One of them is what we call the mafkim. And that means to cover the cracks in the areas where roots became open to the sun so that they don't dry. And one is Avruye Ilani. The Pashas Avruye Ilani, other than Rashi, was a couple of different shot, but Avruye Ilani means to make the trees more healthy. So Avruye Ilani is also that you're not allowed to do because there you're actually helping the growth of the tree. But satume pile, which is to save the life of the trees that will be destroyed if the roots are dried out, that you're allowed to do. And what was happening over here is this guy's people were doing the kind that was only that was lukumi ilana, as it's called, and not leave ruya ilana, mamish. These are the sugyas that we've been learning. And that is mutter.